Welcome, everyone, back to Firebrand Pursuit. We're excited to have you all with us. And I'd like to introduce our next guest, Rebecca Juton. And I know that because I asked her before we started recording exactly how she pronounces it. So, Rebecca, last time I saw you was in California, and I thought you were living in North Carolina. But you said you were living in South Carolina. So where are you living now?
So now we're in Connecticut.
Connecticut.
We're in South Carolina for about a year.
All right. So was it work that caused the move?
Yes.
Oh, very cool. Very cool.
Maybe all life. Right. You
know. Wait, what'd you say?
Said Navy life.
Oh, Navy life. I thought you said baby life. I was like, oh, that's news to me. Oh, yeah. Not for Sarah and I either. Very cool. So is this where your job is? That I remember that you had started working at some place, and it was like the career that you were really wanting to get into. Is that in Connecticut?
Yes. Yeah.
Very cool. How's that been?
It's been good. I just started with my client this week. So just building rapport, having fun.
Nice. Very cool. And so what exactly do you do? Because I just wrote like what I knew you to be from the workplace. Because for those of you listeners that don't know, Rebecca and I and Kai all worked at Bridge Coffee Co. at one point. And so I wrote like just scathing remarks about Rebecca. And you are awesome. And so I told them that. So hopefully that helped.
Yeah. So I am a BT, a behavioral technician. I work in home with children with autism, just on whatever goals they have to help them be more successful in life.
Oh, very cool. Very cool. Yeah. Oh, we have a special guest, a COVID delivery guy. Oh, man. Oh, that's funny. Was that your toilet paper for the week?
Might be.
Nice.
No, I'm allowed to go and get my own now.
Yeah. So, Kai, why don't you give us an update, too? How's things going down in SoCal? It sounds like it's a little locked
for sure.
Down.
Yeah, so had a little COVID flare-up at the school and around the school. So we're kind of been a little locked up the last week or so. I haven't gotten it. Only a couple guys around me have gotten it, but we're just being super precautious right now and trying not to get it. But it's, yeah, we're all a little restless, just kind of cooped up in our rooms or the backyard. Hopefully, but if we can test negative out of it, we'll be freed up soon enough. Next
very
year too.
Cool. Very cool. How about you, Rebecca? How's COVID things down there? Are you locked down or locked in?
It's not too bad because, you know, New England's very liberal, so most people are vaccinated already. You know, and all that. It's been a big push here, and so it's pretty freed up relatively, I'd say.
Very cool. Very cool. I imagine with military, it's kind of like you just go to work one day and they jab you with it and then you keep going.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know the whole Navy procedures for it. I just know, like, around town, no one's too worried about it anymore.
Gotcha. That's cool. I had a buddy who, when he joined the Air Force, he said that they gave him so many vaccines, he felt like that scene in The Grinch where they're giving him all the different pudding, and one guy's like, this one's not pudding. And he's like, yes. I don't even know what they jabbed me with, but I have all the vaccines for everywhere.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah, over here, it's kind of like that. It's a little tentative on how it's going to play out with school because we get emails that people are on campus coming down with it. But it's like, I guess they have a way to track who you're around, at least in classes. So far, no one in my classes got it. But for the physical therapy cohort, we are all in the same classes all day, every day. So if like one person gets it, we're all around them. So we'll see what happens. Well, very cool. So, Rebecca, you brought some topics that you are passionate about. So hence you are wanting to be on Firebrand Pursuit. So, Kai, why don't you take it away, and we'll jump right in. And so, real quick, right, as you get prepared, I'll tell everyone, we already got to this point once, and I bungled it, and we had to start over. So, this might be take two. It might be take 10. We'll see what happens.
Right on. Yeah, so, Rebecca, you did bring a couple topics. The first one we're going to get to is God's peace. And your subtopic slash question on that one was about how his peace has brought you through times of questioning or times that you'd started to drift from God. So we can throw it to you and you can talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, so I kind of wrote out a couple of bullet points here. So God's peace has really been the thing that has kept my faith alive my whole life. I can remember being like 6 to 8 years old, just right when I'm actually like able to understand what God is, what religion and faith and all that is. I was always very scared of everything when I was little, and I also have like mild OCD. So when I'd get scared of something, I would just like obsessively think about it until like I thought myself into kind of a panic attack sometimes. And there was probably a good year, maybe two, where I absolutely could not fall asleep unless my dad read Psalms 91 to me. And that's the first time I ever remember having like a personal encounter with God, is just feeling that peace. And at the time, I didn't know exactly what it was. It was like 8. So then I didn't know that it was God's peace that I was feeling. And then, I don't know, I feel like I was pretty steady until about, I want to say, my sophomore year of high school. A lot of my friends were struggling with depression. A couple of them attempted suicide. Some of that was happening in my own family, and that's when I feel like I really made my faith my own instead of just going to church with my family and stuff. And in that time, the only peace I ever got was in worship time at youth group. And that's when I realized what it was, God's peace. And it was like just those moments of peace in the worship that kind of kept me going throughout the week. And then the next time where I really relied on it was actually when I was working at Bridge. Trevor, I don't know if you remember, but I went on one mission that really messed with my head quite a bit.
I do remember that.
Yeah. And I remember, like, both you and Tim pulled me aside within the span of, like, a week. It might have been the same day. And we're just like, hey, it's okay. God's got it. And that's, like, I just felt his peace again. And, then recently, we had a lot going on in our lives. Like, we were in the middle of a move. And while we were in the middle of a move, we actually had a miscarriage, and that was really hard. But I had, like, again, just an overwhelming sense of peace about it, because, like, I knew, you know, God had my baby with him, and it was never going to know, like, fear or pain or anything. And so that's where I'm at now. I'm good. I'm on the other side of things. And that's how God's peace has helped me through a lot of stuff in my life.
Wow. That's crazy. Thank you for sharing so much also. And,
totally.
And to hear the way that you already see it is really inspiring. And for me, it speaks of the depth of how you're experiencing that peace. So I think it's a really cool thing for everyone to hear. Because a lot of times when we go through different things in life, you know, we read about the piece, we, you know, people tell us about the verses, but it's another thing to actually go through instances where we need that peace and rely on and actually call on God. So it's really cool to hear about that. So thank you for sharing that.
Of course.
Yeah.
All right. So I'm going to pose a question to you guys. I think this would be helpful. It'd be helpful for me because this is something that I've dealt with and struggled with a lot. And I imagine other people would as well, but for like in times in life where we're trying to find God's peace and we're seeking God's peace, but we don't have it, how do we go about like seeking God for that? And how do we go about finding that peace? Because I know there's been times in my life where I needed that peace and I wished I had it, but I didn't. Yeah.
Gotcha.
So yeah, we could.
Who wants to take first crack at that? Rebecca, you want to do it or you want me to take first crack?
I've got some answers, yeah.
Okay. Go for it.
So I want to start out with like a couple Bible verses here. The first one is not that one. It's this one. Okay. Philippians 4:6-9. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything you can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ. Well, that was 6-8. But that's... so that one, which basically means like... you have to give God something as well. You can't just take the peace. You have to like acknowledge what he has given you and kind of get in that mindset and conversation with him. At least that's how I started off whenever I started to drift or anything. I just start by like, okay, God, I need you. I know it. And I'm thankful for what you have given me. Can I please have some peace? and then also there's the Psalm, I don't remember exactly which one it is. I believe it's 145, but the, one of the verses is be still and know that I am God. And, earlier in that chapter, it kind of talks about a whole bunch of like wars and stuff that are going on. And basically it just comes down to taking a break, setting aside time, and just being still and finding peace and the fact that God is all-powerful and in control. The last thing I wanted to say about that.
Yeah.
You're not going to feel God's peace every second of every day. That's just, unfortunately, you're not going to feel that until you get to heaven. But it is those moments where you feel the peace that is what's going to get you through. At least that's my experience with it. It's not the, you know, end all be all, but.
Gotcha. Very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
I think that's, I feel like with like Christianity and our faith, I think it has to do a lot with faith as well, but like, we're not always going to feel the things that, like, take peace, for example, or hope, or, like, faith. For peace, like, we may not always feel it. And even as we seek God for it, I know, like, he's faithful to provide it for us when we need it and to strengthen us when we need it. But there just may be times where it doesn't come, but we can still find just peace in knowing that he is there and that God is God and that he provides for us. And I think the same is for like goes for hope in God or for our faith in God, and that it's strengthened in knowing that and remembering the past and what like the past sense of what God has done for us in the past, and that he has given us peace and hope, and that. And I think that even in that is where we can find peace, just knowing like like for myself, a lot of things that have contributed to me not having peace has just been like life circumstances over the years of not knowing what my life is going to be like, not knowing the next step, not knowing how I was going to work things out. And ultimately that was me not trusting God to be able to provide and work things out for myself. But where I found peace ultimately in those things was through remembering times when God had provided and knowing that he has been faithful in the past and that if he really is God, that he would continue to be in that way. So I think for myself, there's like, and I think in Christianity, there's a misconception that peace is just going to wash over you and overwhelm you with a peace that will flood away any other like worries or anxieties or anything that the world might throw at us. And it's usually not like that. It's usually kind of a, like we have to resign ourselves to trust in God and to find that peace that he will handle things for us. I don't know if that makes any sense to you guys.
Yeah, that makes some sense to me. And just like, I guess that's kind of the, I see it in two ways, like that in that regard, where when we're going through daily troubles or life troubles, a lot of times, you know, there's situations that we can't just fix. I mean, we wouldn't need peace if we could just fix it right away. And so the peace doesn't come from the problems just going away or necessarily being solved right away. But the peace comes in really like a trust in God's character and who he is and who he's revealed himself to be to us, and knowing we can rely on that. I mean, down to the basic necessities, why are we worrying about things? I see it in another way too, when it comes to like hurt and things that are hard. And it's similar in regards to where the peace comes from. Again, it's trusting in God and who he is and what he's promised to do and the healing that he's promised his people. You know, it's exciting in a way to think that, you know, no matter how bad or how hard it's gotten, God is big enough and strong enough to heal all of that. And so, man, I'm excited for all believers for that to happen, because it's just going to be like breathing new air, basically. Like if you could just imagine breathing better air, it's just going to be awesome. But the other way I experienced the peace, personally, you know, because I'll get wrapped up in those daily things and sometimes in the hard life things, and that can kind of consume my mind. And I've had people at different points in my life say, like, you need to zoom out a little bit and look at life from a more heavenly perspective. And there's scriptures to back that up. And so, you know, once you do that, it makes things seem a lot smaller. Because I can get really wrapped up in little things, like they matter, and really they don't matter. And when you think about that, you know, the scripture I had queued up, it's, let's see here. I'm terrible chapter and verse, but it's John 16, 33. And it's Jesus speaking to the disciples. It says, I've told you all this so that you may have peace in me. So if you want to know what he told them, you got to go back and read it, readers. There's your challenge for the week. But he says, I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I have overcome the world. And I mean, that's a pretty broad view of life. It's like, you're going to have trials, you're going to have sorrows, but as Christians, we have something unique, and it's a blessing that we can just zoom out and see the way that God has like just flipped the way that human life is on earth, and that we can experience that peace knowing that no matter how good or bad it gets here, there's something better to come. And so don't be storing your treasures here. Don't be trying to make this place heaven, but have peace in the fact that we have a hope in the future. So it's like in that way, I see the hope and the peace are just so intertwined. You know, if you don't have the hope, how are you going to get the peace? Yeah. I don't know. What do you guys think about that?
There's another scripture in John, John 14, 27. It's, Jesus talking to the disciples before he goes up to heaven. It's a peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. I think that one kind of goes along with what you're saying a little bit about just like taking a step back and just.
No, it's all good. I want to read that too, and I'll explain why, because it says, I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart, and the peace I give you is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. Remember what I told you, I am going away, but I will come back to you again. If you really loved me, you would be happy that I'm going to the Father who is greater than I am. And the reason why I want to say this, it's funny, we're talking about peace and that you brought up that verse specifically. It connects with him coming back, because I had a strange dream last night. And it kind of connects with this topic of peace, because I had another dream a long time ago that was really strange. So I'm going to tell you the first dream and then the dream I had last night. The first dream, it was like I was standing on like a grassy area. And I was looking out and I could see the ocean, but it looked like not like a beach or not sunny. It was really cloudy. And I just had the sense of like not needing anything. Like every need was satisfied. There was no hurry. There was no rush. I was set. And at the same time in the dream, I had like this intense feeling that like I could be in God's presence in like a millisecond if I wanted to. But in the dream, I wouldn't do it because I didn't have anything worth talking to him about. And it was the strangest feeling. Like I can't put it into words. Like it gave me such a perspective on we wake up, we need things, we need water, we're breathing, we got to have food, we got to go to work, we got to do this. There's never a day or a time where we don't have worries and problems and things going on. And to have that dream where it was like nothing. And it was like I felt the strong connection with the Lord and with other believers. Like I was talking to another friend of mine that's Christian in the dream, like, dude, this is awesome. I was like, I don't even understand how this could be happening. And it was so cool. And I can only just hope that that's a glimpse of what's to come, because it was awesome. But then last night I had a dream and it was even stranger. So, and I'm not saying like this one was necessarily so profound, but in the dream I was like, it was like I was at the same place. So funny that I had this last night. Same place, but it was dark. It was like nightfall. And it was like, you know how, I don't even know how to explain it. Like a time-lapse video where clouds are moving really fast. It was like that, except the sun wasn't moving. It was all night. And the cloud, there was like lightning and clouds just flying over. And in the dream, I was just like, this is it. Anyways, to connect that verse, you know, that we know we're going to have a hard time here. It's just going to be hard. There's some very serious, painful things that happen on earth. But we know we have that peace and we have that strength in Christ, that he has accomplished so much for us, that we have a hope that just kind of overpowers any of those feelings. And not to say that those things aren't hard and that doesn't take time to work through them. But in that regard, I think God's very faithful to walk with us through that. And man, that dream was pretty intense. So if that's what it looks like when Jesus comes back, that's going to be crazy. Because I was just like, this is it. It's so funny.
I was waiting for you. We're going to get you prophesied the second coming.
I have a date. Give me a second here. I gotta do some calculations with my biblical numerology. One second. I'm just playing.
It's interesting that you should like bring up that almost like vision of heaven in the first dream and like the vision of maybe the second coming in the second dream, because whenever I'm like really meditating like in God's peace or whatever, I do get visions of what I assume is like heaven-ish or whatever, just like me and God sitting there just chilling. But on the other hand, one of the only things in all my life that has ever given me anxiety is thinking about the second coming. And I recently kind of figured out why. Because I know I'm good with God. And
that's like, good.
Through any of my questioning times I knew I would come out of it good with God. I was never concerned about that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really excited to go to heaven, and I'm excited for that for me. However, I have a lot of people that I love that I don't think are going to heaven if it was to happen anytime soon. And that I can't deal with that. I want as much time humanly possible, I guess, as God will give me possible here to like minister to them. And so that's actually something that I've been praying about peace for, is thinking about that. Cause that gives me a whole lot of not peace thinking about it.
Yeah. I'm pulling up a verse here because I want to talk about exactly that point, because I can see where you're coming from and how that could almost like mess that piece up for you. So let me find it here. I'm pulling it up again. I have to, like, I'm so bad with chapter and verse, but it's okay. We're in 2 Peter 3 here. And it's verse 8, 9, 10. And I'm going to read it, and it's not going to help your anxiety for a second, but just wait. Just wait for it. Okay. So 2 Peter 3, 8 through 10, it says, "But you must not forget this one thing, dear friends. A day is like 1,000 years to the Lord, and 1,000 years is like a day. The Lord isn't really being slow about his promise, as some people think. No, he is being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed, but wants everyone to repent. But the day of the Lord will come as unexpectedly as a thief. Then the heavens will pass away with a terrible noise, and the very elements themselves will disappear in a fire, and the earth and everything on it will be found to deserve judgment." So there's a lot there. But the one point that I like to remember is that he is being patient for our sakes. And so imagine if someone could go back in time and tell him, hey, like, you got at least 2,000 years left, or, well, we're almost at 2,000 since this was probably written. So, I mean, they'd be like, sure. I mean, Jesus was just here. He's coming back. Don't worry. So,
I was just saying, I don't know what it's like necessarily in the rest of the country, but in New England, a lot of the preaching seems to be, oh, get ready. It's happening. Which, yes, it could happen anytime.
Yeah.
But. Yeah. Yeah. That's just, it's been on my mind a lot because I hear it so often here. Because New England is the most, I guess, heathenistic is the only word I can describe place that I've ever been to or lived in for that matter. And so I understand how the Christians here are like, oh my gosh, it's time.
This is the end. Well, in that regard, I mean, we're not, it's rough, but it's kind of been like this in different parts of the world throughout history, and Christians throughout history have been like, it's going to be soon. And then 100 years later, new generation, it's going to be soon. And so that's definitely a factor. But the reason I brought that verse up is because I wanted to talk about God's being patient for our sakes, you know, and that we're to be ready, and that we want to evangelize and tell people because we want them to have that opportunity. And what I think is really beautiful about it is that we can rely on God and trust him to wait until everyone that's going to be saved will be saved. And so we should continually pray for our loved ones, pray hard, you know, speak to them in kindness. But at the same time, we don't really know their heart. There's some people I think and they walk a very fine line as far as what I see as far as their fruits. But would I go as far as to say they're not saved? Probably not. And so in that way, I just kind of pray for them and send it up to God. Because a lot of times there's just such a variety of experiences people can have on, you know, hurt church, you know, where a church has hurt them, or they experience, you know, Jesus in their own way, and maybe it's in a way that we don't necessarily think aligns with Scripture 100%, but is it so far off that they don't know him? I don't know. That's tough to say. And so I kind of take some solace in that, keep praying for them, but let that peace. Yeah. Wash over, you know, that God's got it. He's being patient. He's going to wait till everyone that is going to be saved will be saved. And real quick, I was just going to say, and, you know, the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So keep praying, because those prayers could be the thing that leads to a change for them.
Yeah. I've read that verse before, but I don't, like, ever remember actually comprehending it, at least not in a time that I needed to hear it, you know?
Mm. Mm.
So that does bring peace.
Oh, good. The next thing I wanted to bring up on this topic, you know, of peace is when we think of peace, a lot of times we think of experiencing it and going through hard things. And but for me, it's funny that you guys Guy's question kind of steered it in that direction. I love it. It's great. But for me, the first thing I think of when I think of God's peace is like how much I'm a factor in ruining that. And like the easiest example for me to think of is like driving in traffic and someone just cuts me off and I'm like, oh, I just want to follow them and like give them a piece of my mind. And I'm the one wrecking that. So I don't know what do you guys think about that? Experiences there? Or I've got a scripture queued up for this at the end. It's certainly something I deal with.
I definitely do that too. I have a bad habit of giving people a thumbs down in traffic, which is especially bad now that I have this cross tattoo on my wrist.
Oh!
I noticed that the last time I did it, and I was like, okay, God, I'm sorry. I'm really going to try not to do that ever again.
Yeah.
I can definitely relate with that.
That's where I've been like cut off in traffic, and they have a Jesus fish on the back of the car. I'm like, that's bad rep for him, man. That's shame. Shameful. Oh, man. But I think it goes a little deeper than traffic, though. And that I kind of bring that up because it is funny. But definitely, I think a lot of the times when I'm not experiencing that peace, like I have every reason to be and every reason to be confident in what God said. And so when I'm not experiencing it, I'm the first thing that I look at. Like I might be the problem here. There's times where it's not. It's definitely external or your situations. But most of the time, it's me. And so I'm going to read this verse real quick. We're in Matthew 5, and this is 9. And then I'm going to read 10 and kind of explain why. So 9 is, God blesses those who work for peace, for they will be called the children of God. And God blesses those who are persecuted for doing right, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. And so that's where, like, being peacemakers really kind of shines at me from the text. And it's like, that is not just, so in my mind, peace is not just something for me to enjoy, but it's something for me to work after and to try and spread and give. And so that's something that I've really seen a lot lately, and it's really cool that, you know, you chose this topic. I didn't even remember what topic you chose until today when I looked at it, and having just seen it just so clearly in my life over the last month with school, you know, with this program, for the listeners, like, it is like crazy intense for all of us. And so it's really been an opportunity for me to like help people and be that peacemaker and just kind of help them grapple with a very intense and hard situation. Hopefully, you know, eventually they'll be like, man, why are you like that? And there's already been some comments made. And I'm like, man, you know, that's going to end up being an opportunity where God lets me really witness to this person. And I don't know if any of them listen to the show, but here you go. Here's your sign. Come talk to me. But and the reason I kind of grouped 10 in there is that God blesses those who are persecuted for doing right, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs, you know. And when I think about being a peacemaker, it can be a tough spot. I don't know. Maybe it doesn't quite connect to persecution, but definitely like in my family, I've found myself in a really tough position before where I know what I'm trying to do is be that neutral kind of peacemaker in the middle of a dispute between two other family members. And man, it's like my chops are getting busted from both sides. Like, man, why are you hanging out with them? Why are you talking to them? And it's like, I'm just trying to like do what's right here. And so So that, I think about that too, because sometimes the peacemaking does come at a bit of a price, you know, and that's unfortunate. But I can say I sleep pretty soundly at night when I feel like I'm doing an okay job, which is probably the best I've ever felt about it. So I don't know, any thoughts there or anything come to mind from that?
I have a verse. The rest of the verse is from Philippians. It kind of connects with the first part of what you were saying about how sometimes you feel like you're getting in the way of peace. Mm. So it says, "And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you have learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you."
Mm.
So I think, I mean, that even kind of connects to what you're talking about being like a peacemaker. Like when you are fixing your mind on what is right and you are trying to be a peacemaker, it says the God of peace will be with you.
Mm. Mm. Man, I like that. But yeah, it is really cool how when you're working for the Lord, you can be sure that he's on the side of that. And it's kind of hard to be a peacemaker and be doing wrong, I guess. I don't know. I just can't really imagine a situation where you're thinking about the Lord and you're trying to be the peacemaker in the situation and it's going wrong. But here's where that segue will come in. I'm going to cut it out. And so for all the listeners, I had an embarrassing attempt at trying to segue because I'm still getting used to this. So here's the segue. I really like how you connected those verses and how scripture supports itself. And the reason that I bring that up is because if we go to 2 Timothy 3:16, says all scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. That was 16 and 17. And so we bring that up because I feel like we're coming to a close right now. And next week, we're going to come to your second topic. So for those that want to jump into some scriptures and prepare, we're going to be talking about the importance of scripture. And so I gave you a little preview, but before we wrap up this week, any last thoughts, Rebecca or Kai?
I was going to say, I was stoked when you brought up Philippians 4, 6 through the last half of that, because that was, throughout my life, that was a verse and passage that my mom nailed into my head. And so I've always had that one memorized, and that was a go-to whenever I was seeking peace. And I was just, as an application, I was just thinking, if you're in a place in life where you feel like you're struggling to find peace and you aren't finding that peace from God, step back and look at your own practices and the things that you're consuming and that you're taking into your mind. Because a lot of times, when I am struggling to find that peace and I'm overwhelmed with life and just anxiety about things, and I step back and I realize that I'm really not spending that much time in God's word, and I'm not spending that much time in prayer or in just being still with God. And so I think to answer my own question from earlier, what's a practical way to seek God's peace is just to seek time with God and be in his word and be in his presence at Philippians 6:8 says, dwell on the things that are excellent, that are praiseworthy, that are right, that are pure, that are lovely, that are admirable. And the God of peace will be with you.
Ooh, I like that a lot. I like that a lot. That's a great takeaway, because if we're kind of doing that, sticking with him, then we're not going to be our own worst enemy, focusing on the worst things. So yeah, that is good stuff.
So I got one more thing that popped in.
Okay. Sorry. Okay. Segued way later.
You can tuck this in earlier.
No, I'm leaving it. I have no pride.
I know. I mean, I've had a lot of friends who have walked away from their faith because they have too much anxiety and they feel like if God was real, then he would take it from them. And I think, you do have to put in the work for it, and it's obviously possible. But I wanted to say that, like, my family is all messed up. We all have mental health issues, and, like, they're all just really plagued with anxiety, like, all the time. And I have, I guess, escaped that. I don't know. Because whenever I feel any of that coming on, whenever I feel my OCD is starting to cycle again, I go to peace. And so it is possible to live without anxiety because of God's peace.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. All right. Well, thank you, Rebecca. This is episode one with you. Very exciting. And so for all the listeners that enjoyed this today, you know, please drop a like, drop a subscribe, follow us on Instagram. And if you want to shoot us a topic or you are interested in being on, reach out to us. You know, you can direct message us. You can email us. Everything's down in the description of the video if you're on YouTube, and it should be in the description wherever you found this podcast. So other than that, have a great week. Settle in. You know, I love that takeaway, Kai. Just seek God so you know who he is, and then let that peace just kind of wash over you. So, all right. Well, thanks, everyone, and we'll see you next week. Welcome to Firebrand Pursuit. This podcast exists to provide a platform to encourage passionate and candid conversations between Christians and people of other worldviews. We want to bring a Christian perspective that is firmly founded in biblical principles to bear in the setting of all social and theological issues that the church must contend with. We also want to discuss other worldviews and provide a safe space where those conversations can be shared in a mature and exciting fashion. This podcast was created by myself, Trevor Turk, and Kai Will Baines. Because we lack formal theological training, and the fact that we are not pastors or ministers means that we find ourselves in a very similar position to the majority of the church and people in general.
We hope that by promoting thought in the church, we might better contend for the gospel within society. We also hope that by giving people of other worldviews a chance to share what they think and believe, we'll both create a culture of healthy debate, as well as represent the gospel in the closest fashion to Christ that we can. These sincere and passionate desires are what drive us to share with you Firebrand Pursuit.